What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to our show, hello and welcome. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. I used to write for a lot of different places, and I no longer do that. You can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Yankees or at Stace Gotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and pretty much every podcast platform available that you can listen to. You can also hear the show on our website, LockedOnYankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, I will try not to bitch about Manny Machado. We'll see how long that lasts. CeCe Sabathia was cleared to begin baseball activities. The Yankees signed Billy Burns to a minor league deal last week. I forgot to bring that up, so I'll talk about that for a second. And other than that, there's really not a lot of stuff going on, so wish me luck trying to talk about Yankee stuff for 20 minutes when nothing is happening. This is one of the most boring off-seasons possibly ever. It certainly feels that way. So Sabathia underwent an angioplasty last month. You know, the shocking news was that he had to have that procedure done. He couldn't go to London because he was going to go as a representative of the Yankees for their series against the Red Sox that's coming up in June, and he was cleared to resume baseball activities. Now, this is a big deal because a lot of people thought that they were holding off on trading Sonny Gray until CeCe was given a clear no. The phrase is clean bill of health? Yes. I only had one cup of coffee today. I apologize. but I still think the Yankees would be smart to not trade Sonny Gray. Like I said yesterday, Cashman said last week it could happen now, it could happen before the season, or it could happen mid-season. I have changed my mind on Sonny Gray, which I can't believe actually happened. I think they should stick with him. I think that what Brett Borzelli said in his Pinstripe Alley article is 100% correct. If Larry Rothschild, Aaron Boone, and the rest of the staff can't work with him for some unknown reason, if they don't have the ability to work with Sonny Gray and help him become a better pitcher, then have one of your plethora of former players who go to spring training work with Sonny Gray. It's not that hard. Get Andy Pettit on the horn. He worked with CeCe. He could work with Sonny Gray. Get Ron Guidry. Get Mo. Have Coney do it. And Borzelli brought up Moose, which I would love. I love Mike Mussina, and any excuse for me to see Mike Mussina in any situation would be great. So if they could get him to get down to spring training, that would be wonderful. But I think he's busy. I believe he coaches his kids' high school basketball team, I want to say. So anyway, stick with Sonny Gray. Take it slow on CeCe Sabathia. You know, the man is going to be 39 in the summer. He had this heart thing. I know they said he's fine, but, you know, it's a heart thing, and that's still scary. So just, I say, stick with Sonny Gray. If you told me on Monday that I would be saying such glowing things about Sonny Gray, I would have told you you were insane. In other Yankees news, they signed Billy Burns to a minor league deal. And at first, when I saw the tweet about it, my brain was like, which guy is Billy Burns again? And then I remembered that he played with the A's and he played with the Royals. Last year, he played with the Royals AAA affiliate in Omaha. He hit 255. He scored 51 runs. He hit 9 doubles, 4 homers, and he had 10 stolen bases in 102 games. Billy Burns is 29. He was drafted in 2011 by the Nationals, and he's just there for depth because, as we know, the Yankees have too many outfielders as it is. So, yeah, that's not a big deal. What else? There's really nothing happening. I have nothing to talk about. This is really bad. Oh, Tulo. I mentioned Tulowitzki while I was ranting about Manny Machado. Because that's all I seem to do these days. Tulowitzki, spoke after his, I guess, the deal, did the deal go through? Like, definitely, right? I believe. So, Tulowitzki spoke on Monday. He said that there were a lot of teams interested, but he wanted to remain a shortstop and he wanted to play with a contender. And the Yankees fit both of those needs, so it was a really good match. He said it would be awesome to have Manny Machado on the team, which, no kidding. He said he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And as my friend Kyle said, hopefully that won't put him on the DL. Speaking of Kyle, he reminded me that in my third segment yesterday, when I was talking about my man Jason Giambi, I completely forgot a game in 2005 that we went to together in which Giambi played hero. And I can't believe I forgot it. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment. But first, I can't believe that I forgot to mention this game yesterday when I was talking about Jason Giambi's 2005 season. I am ashamed. I apologize to Jason, not that he's ever going to hear this. But anyway, my friend Kyle, who went with me to a few great games in 2005. Like I mentioned yesterday, the two home run, seven RBI game for Giambi on August 28th. We attended the game against the Cubs when Jeter hit his first and only Grand Slam. We saw Sean Chacon actually own in the playoffs. It was like the one good game of that friggin' series against the Angels. And we also attended a game on a Sunday afternoon in the Bronx. It was September 11th, 2005. It's the Yankees Red Sox. Yes, Yankees Red Sox in the afternoon, not an ESPN game. It may have been one of those years where they moved or didn't choose to put the game at 8 o'clock because maybe Rosh Hashanah was happening, possibly, because sometimes that would happen. And the Yankees Red Sox would end up playing a day game when they normally would be on ESPN at night. I could be completely wrong. Forgive me if I am. It was 14 years ago. Let's move on. Anyway, Sunday afternoon, Yankees Red Sox, Tim Wakefield against Randy Johnson. Jason Giambi hits a solo home run in the first inning. It's the only run of the game. The Yankees end up winning that game 1-0. And it was one of those games that was nerve-wracking, racking, whatever phrase you use, because it could have changed in an instant with one swing of the bat, but it didn't. The Yankees clung on to that 1-0 lead and they won. And again, I cannot believe I forgot to bring up that game. So now I have. I was looking around Twitter, as I normally do, and I follow some writers who are Mets fans. They write for Met blogs, stuff like that. And I love watching them interact with their fellow Mets fans because Met fans think that the team should sign Bryce Harper. I agree because if you want to make your team better, if you want to make your opponent worse, you sign Bryce Harper. Would the Mets ever do that? Probably not, because their ownership is, I was going to say a bad word, I'm not going to say it. An S show? Not that we should talk, because the Yankees' ownership is acting like the Mets, like I said yesterday, crying poverty, saying they can't sign people when they can, clearly. But I wish I had the hopeful delusion of some Mets fans. And I'm okay. That sounds like a bad thing. I don't mean it in a bad way. But some of these people, sorry, some of them, they're just, you root for the Mets. Do you not understand that you root for the Mets? That's my question to some of these people. I don't understand how they could believe that the Mets would do anything to benefit the team these days. Honestly, the Mets signing someone like Bryce Harper is a no-brainer. That's what you do. Just like the Yankees signing Manny Machado would be a no-brainer. But both New York teams are run by idiots, greedy idiots. They have no business running baseball teams. Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to run the Yankees. You can tell he doesn't want to. Just by the way he conducts himself, he looks bored out of his mind. He doesn't have like a killer instinct. The only time he ever gets upset is if, God forbid, the Yankees go over the luxury tax. Oh, that can't happen again. If you want the Yankees to be a better team, you sign Manny Machado. Bottom line. So does Hal want the team to be better? Because it certainly doesn't seem that way. He's not doing everything he can to make the team better. This is so frustrating. This is just, it's maddening. Up next, your guess is as good as mine. But first, the hardest thing about recording a podcast during the off season when you don't have a guest with you is trying to come up with things to talk about when there's nothing to talk about. I could try and project and predict what's going to happen in 2019, but I feel like I can't do that until we see what some of these guys look like when they come back to training camp, and that's not happening for another month. So, what else can someone with a podcast do during the off season when there's no news? And right as I was complaining about there being no news, something pops up on Twitter. John Heyman, my man. Word is Machado camp still seeking $300 million plus. White Sox Phillies not believed to be close to that ask, though exact current offers aren't known and can change. Meanwhile, Yanks believed to be preferred destination have yet to make official offer. Still no word of the mystery team. I am going to punch something. He wants to come to the Yankees. What the F is Hal Steinbrenner doing? Sign this man to a contract. Give him $320 million. Just do it. What is the matter with you? So much for my not complaining about Manny Machado, but how can I not complain about this? You sign him. Sign him. He wants to come here. And don't pull that whole, oh, well, if he wants to come here, then he'll take what we give him. Give him what he wants. I have a headache now. Just from this. I have a Manny Machado headache. Actually, it's not a Manny Machado headache. It's not his fault. It's a Hal Steinbrenner headache. It is going to be so embarrassing when the Yankees end up not signing Manny Machado and just being like, oh, I guess he didn't want to come here. He didn't want it bad enough. What is the point of having all that money if you're not going to spend it? Like I've said, the Yankees can sign, they could sign both Machado and Harper and still be fine money-wise. Sure, they might go over the luxury tax, but they have enough money to pay off the luxury tax for the next like 100 years. So stop crying poor, sign one of these guys, and do it soon. That's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, your very angry host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at my personal account, StaceGotts. You can also follow me on Locked On Yankees. I run both of them. You can also email questions to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can rate the podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. You could be so kind, please rate the podcast and tell everyone about the podcast. Tell them about the crazy lady who's ranting about the Yankees not signing Manny Machado. People will find it funny. I apologize that the podcast is so short, but that might be better for you guys. There's there's nothing to talk about. So I hope you all have a lovely Wednesday afternoon, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. Hopefully it won't be about the White Sox signing Manny Machado, because who knows how my reaction will be then. Have a good day.